Exactly.
Great achievement on your part to be able to communicate with me.
Exactly. Hold on a sec. Good evening, everybody. This is the Fakeologist Show. We do, it's Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. And it's, we started almost on time, 8:01 p.m. Toronto time. I do this show Sunday through Thursday around this time. And we talk about 9/11. We talk about psyops, media hoaxes, and everything in between, including COVIDs. We're talking these days about fakery around the Israeli event over there in Gaza, Gaza City, and all those other places. Anyone getting tired of that one? I'm already bored of it. It's boring, boring. And tonight I have a returning guest, Mark Tokarski from peaceofmindful.com, and we got lots to talk about tonight, including Miles Mathis, including the fan site cutting through the fog, and then the new one that I was just recently banned from, actually banned after maybe a couple hours, and whatever it's called, Mathisinian. So whatever it's called, and here's Mark. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm always glad to talk to you. It's been a while.
It has.
And your blog is now going dormant, so I thought it was a good opportunity to see what was going on and see what you had to say about that. So that's why you're on, and we always enjoy talking with each other because we have a lot in common with our...
Yeah, you know, your blue moon, Tyrone, his mother recently died.
And oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's been at our bedside for like 4 years.
Wow.
So you could call it blessed relief.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And a good son. And a good son. And he was
awesome.
He was kind of implying today that he's got a lot of stuff that is backed up. Maybe stuff he's already written, and he wants to know if it's okay if he continues to use the blog.
Yeah.
That's what I took from it. And I said, oh, sure. Go for it.
Oh, good. So the blog is going to keep going then.
Well, under him, and I'll do something occasionally. What happens is every time we post something there, 1,889 emails go out. And we don't know how many of those are human beings, but that's kind of a resource, and I would like for people to use it.
You always had good response in your comments. I was always really jealous because your comments are way more thoughtful than the ones on my blog. No offense to my commenters, but you have a much wider breadth of commenters. It's you don't really have the normal sniping and flaming and other.
Well, we try to keep it civil, and you know, it's been in decline for a long time. We're down to, I don't know, I haven't checked the numbers in ages because they depress me, but it's a downward thing, and it was a good time to get out.
Yeah, I'm not obsessed with numbers and all that. I just keep going because I like to keep going. I'm not obsessed with who reads my blog or who listens to my audios. I'm just more using this to exercise a muscle. I'm still interested in the media, not like I used to be before I woke up, but I like decompressing it, and I like all the people that try and figure out what's going on, and I just put a lot of their stuff.
I like all of that, too. I was just fresh out of ideas.
I don't really have any original thoughts. You're a great writer for original ideas. I'm not that person, never have been, never tried to be that person. I just promote stuff that I think is correct. I think that's enough of a job just to figure out what's right and what's wrong. But you do a lot of original content.
Well, I used to. I used to, but I got repetitive, and that was bugging me that I can sit down and write a post about climate change with my hands tied behind my back, and everybody's read it before, and people were getting tired of reading it, and I needed something new and different, and it wasn't coming to me, so I thought, good time to give it up.
But you are going to keep maintaining it because someone has to maintain it, because obviously you have writers that aren't technical enough to get a blog going on their own or a Substack or whatever it is. So you're going to have a role to play.
Well, what I'm going to do is a few posts where I go back and collect some of our better work and bring it to the surface.
Yeah. Update it. Refresh it.
Yeah, update it. Refresh, update it. And that, I said in the closing post, would ride me off into the sunset. But, you know, other stuff. I think I wrote about Circe today, which was an opera. Nobody wants that or expects it, but I thought, what the hell?
Well, yeah, followers. But, yeah, I'm not a big opera guy. I know my dad is, though.
Yeah, I'm not either, which is why I wrote about it. Circe is about a 3.5-minute piece.
Yeah.
And the opera is 2.5 hours long. So
what are they playing? They're not playing it over and over again, are they?
No. It's a story they tell in an opera, and people sing their words to each other. And I sat down and decided that I could sit through the whole opera the other night, a few nights ago, and I got about an hour into it, so this ain't working for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not an opera fan, but I do. But everyone should be attracted to beautiful music that takes a talent. And I think that's one of Miles Mathis's theme, that a lot of art now is just there to disorient you and really upset you because it's not real.
I liked the music of the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And it began to gravitate away in the 80s for me, and I was getting older.
Yeah.
So that happens. But, you know, these days I don't recognize anything or anybody.
No, and that's just the way life works. Nobody is current decade after decade. Everyone has an arc. Every artist has an arc. And we just returned from Graceland. We made our pilgrimage, our lifelong pilgrimage. The movie got my daughter really interested in Elvis, and I had watched him a couple times in the past. I'm not diehard. I probably wouldn't have gone if it wasn't for her, but she wasn't really energized by the movie. So we went and dropped all kinds of money. And, it's a phenomenon. I don't know. Were you interested in Elvis back in your, because it's more aligned with your age group?
He was a bit before my time.
Oh.
But, you know, I saw the talent there. I saw the charisma, the incredible charisma of that man.
Whether manufactured or real, it's hard to tell these days, but fake or real. Yeah. But
I don't know what they could do in those days to make him what he was. You know, the guy that performed on stage had a certain thing that nobody else had.
Yeah, for sure. It was unique. And because this is a fakeologist, we have to speculate whether he really died or his career died along with maybe the excesses.
Or if, as Mathis claimed, that he had good evidence that Elvis was a set of twins.
Right.
But was performing in Las Vegas. The other was doing shitty musicals in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, and I've looked at the two photos that he say indicates there's a twin, and I can't tell the difference.
Well, parents can't tell the difference between identical twins quite a few times. I've talked to people with identical twins, and they do get fooled if they're not paying close attention sometimes.
The parent trap.
Right. It does happen.
That's probably before your time.
Yeah, I think I know. I think it was remade, actually, the parent trap. But
oh, really? Well, I'm thinking about the Haley Mills version.
Yeah, I've heard of it for sure. But the other thing that was big with Elvis is, right away after he died, the stories about people seeing Elvis just started coming out, whether they were real or manufactured by the regime, just to keep the mystery alive. I don't know if you ever followed.
I did. I think that Mathis did his part in that too. He thought that the sightings were real.
Mm.
And I never saw the sightings, so I don't know.
No. But now we're talking about Miles Mathis. That's mileswmathis.com. And I think that's probably why I found your blog originally, is because you are one of the few people that were actually promoting his website and his work. I was interested in it. I thought it was pretty interesting. And you're the only one that actually went to one of his conferences and you confirm that he's a real person.
Yes.
Because you talked to him.
Mm-hmm. To my satisfaction, yeah. A real guy.
Yeah.
And then we had the unfortunate event where we attacked him from my blog, and I allowed it to go through, and that sort of, you know, cast a pall on the whole thing. And
what was the attack again? Because I don't remember.
Pedophilia.
Oh, you said it's... Meeting.
I didn't say this. It was another writer on the blog who went by another name, and I was responsible because I let it go through.
So the writer said his paintings were pedophilic?
It was a long piece. It was many thousands of words, and it was to that effect, yes.
Okay.
When he quit writing for the blog, I took down that piece, and I wrote to Mathis and said the piece was gone.
Mm.
There was nothing I could do to undo it, and you know, just the way it is.
Well, okay.
And I decided at that time I would never again criticize the guy publicly because that amounted to a personal attack, and I wasn't proud of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't...
Never said another bad word.
I don't criticize him, but man, I went on his... I was just commenting on the new fan blog saying, this is not a good format. I've been into websites and web pages for a long time now, and I just recommended a forum, and then I got... Steven somebody came out and said, oh, Miles wrote about you, you're just basically a troll, and then the owner of the new blog banned me. So I thought, well, what is it with these guys that are so hostile to...
I don't know. I told Travis Mateer when he wrote a little piece about me when I quit, and I contacted me privately, and I said, I think I'll do a little more commenting on other blogs. It's been a long time since I felt the sting of being banned.
Yeah, but I don't. I get a lot of crap and negative feedback from people on my own blog. I don't usually ban them, though. I mean,
I don't either.
The opposite of love is not indifferent, or not hate, it's indifference. So if someone is passionate enough to, like, even commenting on someone else's blog takes energy, people. So I'm obviously somewhat of a fan if I'm making a comment. So to ban someone is just insane.
Yep. We had a commenter, Petra, I think was her name, and she was very much a believer in the moon landings and very hard to reason with, but I guess we were too. And at a certain point, I banned her. Yeah. And I felt like shit. I very quickly unbanned her, but she went away, and she only briefly returned and pretty much has stayed banned, even though I want her back.
Yeah. So if you ban someone, you better have a good reason. And I'm pretty tolerant in my comment section. There's stuff I don't agree with, but I don't get into it with every commenter. I let it stay up there and let other commenters comment, but I don't spend all my time in my own comments. But anyway, I think just these people that are so-called defending Miles Mathis are there just to make his work just more inscrutable, because if you say anything negative, you're going to get attacked, even if he doesn't run his own fan blog. So I think that makes it a bit of a gatekeeping operation, at least the fan pages.
Most likely. Most likely. I've only banned for real one guy.
Yeah.
Permanently. And he was a guy, Salt Lake City or something like that. And he was continually coming to the blog and putting up music he liked.
Yeah, that's not relevant then, is it?
No, and it was kind of annoying. So I asked him to stop doing that. And he wouldn't. So I put him on the ban list. And he came back with a photo to my benefit of one man licking another man's ass.
Nice.
So he's permanently banned, but he's the only one.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be too much of a fan, then you're an ass licker. Or you can't be too critical, then you're a hater, or you're a troll, or you're trying to obscure the person's work with you being a fan and you having flat earth on your site. That's enough to make you discredit by association. So we can't have you. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going at it with a guy today who said, Oh, you know, Amazing Polly, who you've put her videos on your video platform, FakoTube, she's a shill. She doesn't believe, she's promoting the idea that Hitler was a bad guy and therefore she works for Israel. I mean, come on. Geez, you know, not everyone knows everything all the time. And there is no way that everyone is going to align exactly with your views. So even if she's wrong in my mind in certain ways, that doesn't cancel out a lot of her good work. And then they'll say, well, controlled opposition, they're 90% truth and 10% crap. And that's all you need to discredit. So.
That's really how it's done. You know, there's going to come a day when everybody who lived during the time of Hitler is dead. Wait, that's already happened. Mm-hmm. We're still talking about the guy.
Isn't that amazing, huh? Why is that? Is he just, and I think Tyrone, did he not write something on Hitler or did someone on
he
your?
He did some good stuff.
And what did he say? What was his main idea? Do you know?
Well, that Hitler was more or less a composite of several people.
Mm.
And I tried to prove that using face chopping, but it didn't work.
Right.
You know, and the one thing he said that stuck with me was that the emphatic speeches that he gave that riled those crowds so well,
right,
was actually a Bavarian actor,
right,
who looked like Hitler, who did those speeches.
So does that really, does, okay, so yeah, I found the Hitler Project, Hitler's Old Man. That is one of Tyrone McCloskey's pieces. He's got about 5 or 6 pieces, I think.
Mm-hmm.
On your blog?
Most of them are not on the blog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to put some stuff on. I hope he does.
Okay.
Some of his non-published or his privately published stuff on the blog.
So is this the piece, though, that encapsulates and includes all his Hitler research?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
Well, it's actually not that long. I'll put a show note to it, show note number 2. Show note number 1 tonight is Peace of Mindful. And the link to Mark's blog for a few people that are asking in the comments. And so he thinks Hitler is a composite character. And there's enough Hitler fanboys on the internet that think he was the real deal. And it sort of reminds me of Trump. Same idea.
Well, yeah. The Hitler psyop was massive.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's still going.
It's still going. You can't say anything about the Holocaust. You'll get yourself crucified.
You might go to jail.
Yeah. In Canada.
Well, I don't know. We just put it in the criminal code, allegedly. And a U.S. probably isn't far behind. I know Germany's the most hyperactive about it. And allegedly there's Canadian/German citizens that are actively going in and out of jail, testing the law over there. That's not exactly a career move I would do. But
no, that's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, when I was very young, I read about the Holocaust and how they never uncovered a grave or all that kind of stuff. And you mentioned that at the dinner table. And, it was early banning.
Mm. Yeah.
So I learned to shut up about it.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
It's a device. It's the ultimate censorship device. And I think it's still being used today, which is really amazing. A 100-year project is still going strong.
Isn't that something?
Well, Trump is still going strong. He's the first. Is he not the first president that is still in the media as much as if he was president? Has there been any other presidents that are still in the news every single day after the presidency?
No, most of them just go away.
So what does that tell you?
That they were probably just acting, but, you know, I think Jimmy Carter is still alive.
Well, yeah, he is physically still alive. He's in his whatever shape, but yeah, But he's not in the news making news. He's not in an active news cycle. Like I personally don't follow the Trump story. It's, to me, it's boring. But the news certainly promotes it, at least for the baby boomers.
Yeah.
I guess of which you are one.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm one of the early ones. We subscribe to a newspaper called the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H. Yeah. And every now and then they run a good piece, but they're very Trumpy.
Right.
And if you want to keep up on everything that's going on with Trump, just subscribe to their, or just sign up for their newsletters.
Oh, you get the newsletter, or is it a website? It's also a newscast, isn't it? Because the No Agenda show plays pieces all the time, audio pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a news. It's a website. It is a, they do run videos and,
okay.
They put out a 4-section newspaper once a week.
And who pays for that? Who's behind that?
There's some Chinese group, but
right.
You know, the name's not going to come to me, Wong or something like that. But the Trump element is just overwhelming in reading it. Although even though they've come out twice now in the last two issues with a long 3-4 page piece on climate change, saying it's all a hoax and everything, which is a very strong thing for them to do. So for that reason, I continue to subscribe.
Well, I'm on the page now, theepictimes.com, and it knows I'm in Canada, so it brings up all the Canadian headlines. So it's fairly localized, it looks like. So yeah. About us Canada, I'd like to switch to maybe the U.S. version to see what that's about, but maybe I can't do it. Well, yes, I can. I can just press U.S. here, and I get, this is probably the page you must see. So, yeah.
Most likely.
Localized.
Yeah, and I do enjoy reading a lot of their pieces. A lot of weeks I just skim it and throw it away.
So you get a physical copy?
Yeah, we get a paper copy. I'm old-fashioned that way.
So somebody comes to your house and drops it at your door?
No, it comes in the mail.
Oh, they mail it. And how long does it take? How fresh is the news?
3 or 4 days.
Oh, okay.
You know, it arrives on Saturday. They probably publish on Wednesday.
Oh, so it's printed in the U.S. and they mail it out from a central source.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it costs you a lot more up in Canada.
Well, I don't pay for propaganda, so it says here it's $1 a week. That's not bad. $52 a week. That's only about 10 cents American.
That must be an introductory offer.
Well, maybe, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not it's sort of anti Chinese regime, I believe, because I just went to the Canadian site and they're still talking about Falun Gong, which is
that's the group that's behind them.
Oh, Falun Gong. Okay.
Yeah. So,
oh, I see. Is that some kind of dissident Chinese group?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I just recognized the word when you said it.
Right.
I think if you go to Wikipedia and read about Epoch Times, they will bring up Falun Gong.
Mm-hmm. So do you still read Miles Mathis's stuff? Are you still interested?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. You know, most of the stuff he writes about, I'm not familiar with. I don't know the names. I'm not familiar with the person who got murdered or whatever.
No. Well, he goes through a lot of historical stuff.
Yeah. I do enjoy the guy that writes about the Japanese theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish he would change his focus over to the European theater of World War I, II. I mean,
yeah,
because he's got a very, very good eye, and he's a good writer.
Well, I'll put a link to his website once more. So I'm not against him. I do link to him all the time, and I'm not interested in all the topics, but I like a lot of his stuff about fakery. He did a lot of stuff on the war in Israel. Or yeah. The alleged war, so that's interesting to me. And that's what I do. I just pull stuff that talks about fakery and put it on my website. That's it. I don't really...
I was watching old reruns of a show called Hollywood Squares.
I love that show.
Yeah, because...
Peter Marshall?
Block... Yeah, Peter Marshall. The center block was Paul Lynde.
Oh, my favorite.
And he was. This was a compilation of all of his witticisms, and one of the questions he was asked was what happened, I think in 1929 or so, an event that took 33 hours and 11 minutes.
Oh, no.
he didn't know, and I couldn't think of it either, but it was the Lindbergh flight.
Oh, nice. Hold on. Was that just Paul Lynde?
Yeah. It was a question asked of him that he had no answer for.
Paul Lynde. Is that a mashup?
Yeah. Yeah, oh. If you go to YouTube and plug in Paul Lynde, you'll get like three or four.
The best of Paul Lynde on Hollywood Squares. I honestly, my absolute favorite, Paul Lynde.
His life was kind of tragic, but he was so incredibly funny.
Paul Lynde, please. Say, Paul, when is it a good idea to put your pantyhose in the microwave oven for about 2 minutes?
And your house is surrounded by the police.
All these everything was pre-canned. It wasn't organic, was it?
What I read about him was that he knew about the questions in advance, but he wrote his own answers.
Okay, well, that's reasonable. That makes sense.
Yeah, and, you know, he was gay before it was okay to be gay, and he was a little bit of a self-loathing person.
Mm.
And he had an alcohol problem and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he just had an amazing sense of humor. Maybe because of all that, I don't know.
Dry, timeless, incomparable. And I think he was the real deal. I used to watch him as Uncle Whatever on Bewitched, which is another great show.
Yeah.
And Uncle Arthur. And that he was definitely my favorite family member on that show. I loved that show.
He had a good career. He got paid a lot of money for Hollywood Squares, too.
I should hope so, because that's back in the day when there weren't that many shows. And all eyes were on them.
Yeah. The other thing I was watching, and this was just, I think yesterday, the day before, was a show on Netflix called something like The Best of Monty Python, mostly. And I sat down to watch it thinking, you know, I'm kind of tired of Python and all that kind of stuff. And I began to realize that those guys were really, really funny.
Yeah. It's a type of humor. You got to like it. I never was into it. I love John Cleese, though. I watched Fawlty Towers. I just never... Where was Monty Python on? Was it on TV or BBC?
BBC.
So how BBC would an American get it?
I don't know. Mm. But they caught on here big time.
Yeah.
And one thing that happened while I was watching this, I fell asleep in my chair and I woke up to Eric Idle singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Mm, okay.
And I sat through the whole piece, the 16, 17 men hanging from the cross, and thought, this is absolutely fucking brilliant.
Mm.
I've never seen humor that you can't describe as anything but brilliant.
What was the piece? I'll look it up.
Yeah, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life from The Life of Brian.
Okay. Is that just a clip?
Or... It's the ending. It's the ending song of the movie.
Oh, okay. Here it is.
Yeah, Brian dies on the ground. You know
they say, some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life.
Actually, when I look at Eric Idle, it reminds me of Russell Brand.
It could well be.
Just looking at him. Have you done a face split on that? Just
I should check that out.
It reminds me. Of course, it's not the same person, but... Yeah, I don't. I just don't get that humor. I don't mind it, but it doesn't. It's hard to make me laugh. I'm sorry to say so.
Well, they did a what do they call it when they go through a movie and they clean it up and they fix it up and make everything look good again? A remake or a reissue of Holy Grail, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
So my wife and I. We lived in Billings, Montana at that time. We went to the theater to watch it, and there were like three other people there.
Yeah.
She and I sat at the back of the studio, And those three other people knew every line in the movie, and they were reciting them out loud.
Well, so that's a fan.
We got up and left. I thought Python was dead at that time, but their 50th anniversary is up now. So,
yeah, interesting. When I'm talking about this with you, it reminds me, I used to watch Larry King live all the time on CNN. And whenever he had a comic on or someone funny, you could always tell when, for the most part, Larry didn't get humor. And I always laughed at Larry because he'd always have this fake laugh. And you know he didn't get it at all, but he was just pretending it was funny. But like I'm not going to fake a laugh when it's something I don't find funny. But as an interviewer, I'm wondering, should I just say, oh, that's really funny, and do a fake laugh like Larry did? Because he was so pathetic at it. I thought, you're so disingenuous, Larry.
That's how we stayed on the air, I guess.
I know. He's so disingenuous as an interviewer. And you know, he never listened to the guests. And he'd ask a question that was just answered because it was in the script. It was always funny watching him screw up. That's why I watched Larry King live. Plus, he always got the top news person of the day on. So it was so relevant. Yeah. Like, I guess today you'd be talking to Netanyahu and all the other clowns that are in this whole Gaza-Israel story. But, you know, this is really Israel story. I don't watch the mainstream media, so I just rely on others to filter it through to me. But they've got, I guess, Bibi on one side. Do they have a boogeyman official enemy on the other side, or are they running without an official opposition?
Hamas.
I know, but Hamas is a faceless, endlessly morphing creation of Israel. So they need
Israeli intelligence.
They need a face, don't they?
They don't have one, as far as I know.
I know. It's like the terrorism was that amorphous creation that the only way we recognized it if we saw the color chart of what color we were in for the week.
Yeah, I don't know who the face is because I haven't been paying any attention. Mm-hmm. I just can't get into that kind of stuff. It's too big for me, and I know it's fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember Gary Larson and the Far Side cartoons?
Yeah, of course.
Speaking of that, my ex-wife, we've been divorced now. We've been separated since 1993. So,
and by the way, you publish all your personal stuff on your blog. There's no secrets in Mark's life. He puts everything up there. Mark,
most of that stuff I took down.
Oh, it's gone. Okay. I was going to say, everyone go to peaceofmindful.com if you want to learn about Mark, but it's gone. Huh? Okay.
Well, there's a lot of personal stuff up there, but nothing that defames anybody else.
Yeah. You're very gracious about it. Just a slice of life. I don't put anything really personal up, but you do, or did.
I don't care. Yeah. When Travis Mathieu interviewed me at one point, he said, "You don't care what people think about you, do you?" The truth is, I do care what people think about
me. Everyone does,
but,
I guess.
Yeah, everyone does, but I try not to let it influence me. But anyway, I was going to say about the Far Side with Gary Larson that my ex-wife.
Yeah.
Would look at some of those things that were just hilarious, like a kid pushing on the wrong door in the school for the gifted. You know, he was trying to go to the exit instead of the entrance, and all you see is his butt and his hands pushing, which I thought was just hilarious. And my wife at that time would look at it and say, "Oh, I don't get it."
Mm-hmm.
And you could see we were destined to be divorced.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have the same sense of humor. Well, the farside.com does exist, and I guess someone is just putting up classic pieces that are probably still funny.
I think his creative juices dried up a little bit, but he also got married.
Oh, yeah.
In a good way, his stuff was all over the place. It was uncontrolled, and she brought it home and made sure that everybody who used it paid for it, and that secured his retirement.
I guess like any other content creator, now there's no gatekeeper. So you don't just have one guy that gets promoted and gets really rich because he's syndicated. Now, of course, the internet has got away or eliminated that exclusivity. So
yeah.
He was a talented person, but there's also a million other talented artists that can use the same media, the internet, to get their stuff out there. So it's probably really hard to get rich doing comics, I'm guessing.
Well, music too.
Music too.
Yeah.
So I used to look for, that was what the first thing I ever looked at when I read the newspaper. I used to go right to the editorial and the editorial cartoon rather.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And those guys are always hyper talented. And then the internet came along and then they consolidated all of the editorial cartoons on one website. And it was like a dream come true because I could look at every cartoon from all around North America and the world on one website. It was maybe a few days late, but it was amazing. But yeah. You could see that, okay, I don't have
people
to buy
any. Getting paid anymore.
Yeah. So it's a problem. So I don't even know if these guys are still, because I don't buy a paper. I don't even really look at the paper online either. I gave up on that too when they started putting up paywalls. So
yeah. I ended my subscription to Epic Times and then found out my wife was enjoying it and looked forward to it. So I went to resubscribe and talked to a gal on the phone, and she looked at her records and said, "Nah, you never ended your subscription." So
well,
I guess they don't let you out once they got you in.
Interesting. Well, yeah, you're, I think you're in your 70s. So you're kind of in an age where all the media that you were brought up with is just slowly disappearing with your generation.
Yeah, that's true. I don't mind it. I enjoy the way it is now compared to the way it was.
Yeah.
You know, and I really enjoyed the TV shows of the 60s and 70s.
Right.
I kind of lost track in the 80s when I had kids, but I thought there was some real talent behind those shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I love the reruns. What was the show I loved to watch? My Three Sons.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, with Fred McMurray.
Yeah, it wasn't a favorite, but it was one of those things that there's only so many shows on and only so many channels. So
yeah,
you watched it because, okay, that's the best of what we got right now.
Yeah, and the thing I liked about it, I guess, was melodrama, because they had the youngest son who left home to marry his girlfriend, and the father had to accept all of this and just move on with his life, and he went over to visit his son and have dinner with him and all that kind of stuff. So it was very moving for me.
Yeah. Well, obviously you could identify with it, because most people like stuff they can identify with, I'm guessing.
That would be me. Yeah.
Yeah. So you saw yourself in that.
I guess so.
Hmm.
I guess so. But the two older boys, and they brought in a fourth at a certain point just to keep show going.
Oh,
they got too old.
And life moved on.
Yeah. So I guess the premise of the show was defective in that sense.
Well, they're not supposed to go on forever.
Yeah. Bart Simpson is still the same age.
Yeah, that's a problem. That show should have ended a long time ago. But I think they use it for predictive programming and sending messages out to the greater ether.
I suppose Conan O'Brien was a writer for that show one time.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got his late show after Dave Letterman retired, they gave it to Conan.
All right.
They had to end the contract with The Simpsons and pay him a bunch of money to get Conan to come over to NBC. But he wrote the most popular Simpsons episode ever.
Which was?
Called The Monorail.
The Monorail. Okay. I never got into The Simpsons. Didn't it start off on the Tracy Ullman show?
Yes.
And she was sort of an obnoxious comment or...
Yeah,
comic.
Homer at that time was more like Walter Matthau than the Homer we know now and everything. And they got in there and they fixed him up and they changed his voice and made him funnier.
BatteryCreek@gmail.com says, I saw a lady delivering newspapers tonight to a nursing home, a big stack of papers. The old folks still read newspapers, but they are dying out. The newspaper delivery person job will be a relic of the past in 10 years. the newspaper guy doesn't come to our street anymore. And the last little local newspaper that had a young person delivering it, they finally stopped printing last month in all of Toronto area. So there's nothing on paper coming to anyone's door anywhere for the most part. There are no newspaper boxes in Toronto that I've ever seen. They've been gone for a long time. So it's to me, it's already over.
Yeah, I'm sure. Epoch Times is kind of a relic.
Yeah, it's gone.
I used to subscribe to The Onion.
Right.
Because it was so hilariously funny.
Yeah.
And then they quit doing the print version and only went online. I don't think I ever went back and looked at them again.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, anyone who wants to get notified when the show goes live, send me a text. It should work. You can text me at 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. It's all on the main website, all my phone numbers. You can email me at ima@fakeologist.com. And the texts are working, and you will get a text. I know a lot of people like text messages. It's harder to ignore a text message, apparently. I know people ignore the emails, because we do send emails out when the show starts, both from FakeoTube, and I manually send them out from the blog. And so I know of what I'm speaking for all you people that think I don't know about tech, because I do like tech. Half the reason I do a talk show is because I like the tech aspect of getting good sound, getting good sound, doing the blog. I like the forums. I just like doing new software. And
you know, if I want to reach certain people in my family, I don't email because I know they'll not read it. I have to text them.
Well, Google wrecked email. And the other thing that I'd like to recommend, if you are not experienced enough to set up your own domain, which is not that hard, but I know I just did it for a friend of mine. He said, I'm not doing it. I'll pay you to do it. So I did it for him too. But I just was looking at Proton Mail because I was reviewing all my other email accounts. And Proton Mail just launched, the Proton company just launched a password manager. And I'm big on password managers. And it looks pretty good. So I'm going to start using it, trialing it out. But if you are still on Gmail, please get off it. For one, if I send any email from my domains to Gmail, Gmail almost always throws it in the garbage. So I know people aren't ignoring me. They're just not seeing my email because it goes right in the garbage can. And a lot of people don't realize Gmail has a couple garbage cans to go through. So please get off Gmail. It's really hard. I know people are addicted to the web interface, but Proton Mail's got a pretty good web interface. So go over there, and they don't sell your data. I can't really endure. I don't know who they are, but I'm pretty sure if you believe what they're saying, they don't sell your data. And they have a really good password manager that looks like they're working hard on it. So I'm going to start using it, especially if
I think I will too. I have a Proton Mail account.
Yeah.
I also have a Gmail account, but only because that's the only way I can access YouTube.
Well, yeah, that's what forces. Yeah, that. And if you read the Proton Mail blog, the guy is saying the valuable thing about your email is it's your identity. And they're trying to change that because Google knows that. And that's why Google gives all your free services. But they insist that you have a Gmail account to use their services. So, yeah, get away from that. Go to Proton Mail. Get their password manager. They have a really neat feature. I don't know if most people understand this, but technically, when you sign up for a website, so say you want to sign up for the Fakeologist website, you need an email login because I don't use Facebook or Google for login. You need your email address to log it in. And Proton Mail, Proton's Passmail will generate a one-time use email address that forwards automatically to your Proton Mail main address. So that way you can keep track of which websites are using your email and selling it to other companies. And you can actually track which companies are doing that. And it keeps track of all that for you. I think that's a super powerful feature. So you can have an exclusive email address automatically generated for every website you log into. So that's a way for you to control your identity and therefore your identity will not be consolidated across many websites. I'm not explaining it perfectly, but basically every website you log into will have a different email address that forwards automatically to your ProtonMail email address. So it's very powerful because it's automatic. So
I like that. I like that.
It's really smart.
With Gmail, I signed up with Proton to have everything that goes to my Gmail account sent over to ProtonMail.
Right.
And Proton will strip any tracking out of it before it gets to me.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I see what you mean. So when you click on, when you click on elements of the email, it won't go back to Gmail to let them know what you clicked on.
Right.
Right. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That is very powerful. I don't use my Gmail address for anything. So I forward all my Gmails, if someone actually has my Gmail, to my own domain, but I'm going to start playing with ProtonMail. So there's a tech tip. You don't get that from any other talk show. I mix it up.
Yeah, and I like ProtonMail. I got on ProtonMail. Well, I have my own domain too.
Yeah, what is it? Well, you have peacefulmindful.com, do you not?
That's a domain, and then my email domain is mpthct.
Okay, so you're smart.
And I did that years and years ago because I knew that Gmail and Google were stripping my emails. Mm-hmm. Looking for any content that they could use to collect data on me and to advertise to me.
Yeah,
and that.
And some people actually like that. It's not always negative.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So, what do you use to read your own personal domain email? You need a program to do that, or does it have a web interface? Do you know?
There's a web interface called iPage.
Okay.
I go there. They're a little bit old-fashioned, and they're kind of, I don't think they have a whole lot of business anymore. Mm-hmm. My stepson was telling me recently that I should take my domain and move it to some place that doesn't have all of these anachronisms and old things like IMAP and all that kind of stuff.
Well, no, IMAP is not an anachronism. It's a protocol for your email, and I use a program. Here's more boring tech talk. I use a program called Betterbird, which is a takeoff of Thunderbird, which is a Mozilla project that has sort of gone off the rails. So the Betterbird is a fork of Better Thunderbird. So I use that. Okay. It's pretty good. And I now am registering all my domains at Porkbun. It's a funny name. I know Porkbun.com. Okay. Porkbun. I'm going to put it in the show notes anyway, because this is sort of a tech talk. This is just a fun little tech talk. Mark is kind of techie and he's a fakeologist, so it's all relevant. So Porkbun is where you can host.
At least it's not spam.
Yeah. You can host, you can do email hosting there or web hosting. You can do quite a few things at Porkbun, but it's supposed to be the cheapest place to register your domain. So I'm moving a couple of my domains over. I just registered fakeologist.blog and fakeologist.tube. So that's something you might want to check out. And Betterbird is this program right here, and it's a good email program. So I'll link to that. It's for Windows, and it's always being updated. Look, they have a new update yesterday, so they're very active, and you should support them. I do send them.
Absolutely.
I send them a little bit of money too. These people don't work for free. As nobody should.
Yep. One of the skits I watched with Monty Python on Netflix was the original skit they did that introduced the concept of spam.
Yeah.
It's a funny skit all by itself, but then somebody ran with that and somehow interjected the idea of spam into the email world. And that's where we got the concept, and that's where we still to this day even have formal folders that come with email programs called spam.
So that's from Monty Python? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how did it get from spam into the email lexicon?
I don't know. I assume college kids.
Okay. Right.
Clever college kids and stuff like that. You remember the thing with the,
what you got then? Sausage and bacon, egg and spam.
There you go.
Egg, bacon, and spam. Egg, bacon,
sausage and spam. Spam, bacon, sausage and spam. Spam, egg, spam, spam, bacon and spam. Spam, 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 egg and spam. Spam, 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 baked beans, spam, 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 and spam. Oh, lobster.
Were all the women actually dressed up? Man dressed up as women in the skit too?
Yeah, just like Shakespeare.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your take? Did I ask you last time about androgyny and the androgynes and the president's wives and whatnot? Did we talk about that?
No. Maybe you did. It's just not something I'm interested in. I think I can look at a woman and see she's a woman.
Yeah. Okay.
And I can look at a mannish face and an Adam's apple and see that's probably a man.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not a Montanan anymore, but we had a legislator up there who was elected out of Missoula, who was a tranny.
Right.
Her name was Zoe Zephyr.
I think we talked about that. Zoe Zephyr?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was really in your face.
Yeah.
And they passed a bill that prohibited, you know, certain surgeries on young kids before they're at the age of reason. And she said the people that did that have blood on their hands.
Right.
And for that reason, she was voted out of the legislature.
There she is. And there he is.
Yeah. Yeah. She had to do all her voting and her whatever they do in the hallway outside the session as it was going on. So she sued. And the court ruled, very rightfully so, that, you know, we have different branches of government that take care of themselves. And we of the judiciary cannot tell the legislature how to run the show. And they denied her lawsuit.
Yeah, she won a year ago. Is that right?
Yeah.
Not even a year ago?
How she even got elected, I'll never know.
Well, probably nobody cares enough to vote.
Yeah.
Well, I'll put a link to that person.
Zoe Zephyr.
ZZ.
Yep.
So you're still in Colorado, the Denver area?
Yeah, we are in the foothills above Denver at about 8,000 feet.
Wow. Is it snowing already?
No, we're having a beautiful, they used to call it Indian summer. I don't know what they call it now. We're
Indigenous summer.
Yeah. We're expecting snow this Sunday, but up until this time, it's
8,000 feet. Oh, is the air really thin? Can you run up a hill and be winded because of it?
Absolutely. When we first moved here, we have a steep driveway and eighth of a mile to the mailbox, and that walk would just exhaust me.
Yeah.
But I got better at it as time went on.
Then what happens if you go to sea level? Do you have just too much oxygen?
I don't know. I don't feel any different at sea level.
Mm.
But when we go to sea level, I'm not doing anything interesting or athletic. I'm just kind of sitting in the sun.
But that would be like going into an hyperbaric oxygen chamber when you go from theoretically less oxygen, if you believe there's such a thing as oxygen, down to sea level, because the density of oxygen coming over your lungs must be more intense, one would think.
I think that's true. They call this the Mile High City.
Yeah.
And teams that come here to play
mm-hmm.
Do special preparations because they know the air is going to be thinner up here.
Yeah, they have to probably stay a while to acclimatize, otherwise they're going to just pass out.
Well, they don't pass out, but they don't perform as well as they could.
I heard Calgary, which is north in the foothills of the Rockies in Canada, was minus 14 Celsius and couple inches of snow today. So
yeah, it's coming our way too.
Yeah. Not.
Have you heard of the volcano called Hunga?
No.
Honga. This was a big deal. January of 22, this thing exploded.
All right.
North of New Zealand.
Oh, right.
And then there was this empty chamber underwater that quickly filled with water. And then they had the second explosion that shot nothing but pure water vapor into the air.
Like this? You can't see my screen. Wow, that's a beautiful picture.
Yeah. The results was they calculated the equivalent of 58,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools worth of water vapor put into the stratosphere.
It looks like a nuke cloud, man.
Yeah.
Have you? I just did a quick search. It's a gorgeous picture. Guess which picture is going to be my cover art for today's show? Wow, that's okay. Awesome, man.
Isn't that cool? And
is it real or fake? I mean, we have to ask that.
It's real. We have volcanoes all the time, and most of them put particles in the air that actually cool the planet. But this one put nothing but water vapor out there, and water vapor is a greenhouse gas. And consequently, here in Colorado, we had the rainiest summer we've had in 100 years. It takes about 3 years to get all of that water vapor out of the stratosphere. In other places, they had very, very hot temperatures that they're not used to experiencing, and they blamed it on climate change, of course. But the truth is that with all that water vapor up there, we were going to have some record hot temperatures.
Well,
we did. And at the same time, we're having an El Nino, too. So a combination of factors made this a very hot summer for most places, and for us, just a delightfully wet summer.
Yeah, we didn't have a hot summer here in Toronto. We had maybe 10 days over 90, which isn't enough to heat the lake for my liking. So we didn't do too well. We had a pretty good October. Epic Souls in the YouTube chat says Proton has a good VPN. Yeah, if you buy their premium package, it comes with everything, including a VPN. I might pay for it. We'll see how I like it. I'll kick the tires a bit for a few weeks and see. So it's got a VPN if you care about those things. I personally don't care about VPNs, but
I don't understand them.
Well, it just means when you hit a website, you can go through another country. And so so for instance, if you want to watch if you're in the European Union and you want to hit a website like BitChute, you can go through a VPN and make it seem like you're coming in from the US to BitChute. Because BitChute.
I subscribed, huge mistake, but I subscribed to NFL Sunday Ticket.
Right.
And they are deadly about finding out where you're at before they will show you anything. And if I had a VPN, they would detect it and they would not show me the game.
Yeah. Well, it's not foolproof. Sunday Night Football is the number one show in the world. And I think someone was discussing how even the number one show in the whole wide world on TV only has a few million people subscribing. So that tells you the state of subscriptions and streaming. It's not good.
Final episode of MASH on TV, 70 million viewers.
Right.
And
it was a terrible final show for most, by all accounts.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, as soon as McLean Stevenson left the show, it jumped the shark.
I think you're right about that.
I love that guy. He was so good.
They replaced him with that Charles whatever guy.
No, that was another replacement. That's when Frank got replaced. But then the Colonel, what's his name? He came. He was a good Colonel to replace Henry Blake. But it was a different style. Every time you have a different character, it's a different style. I just liked Henry. It was just such a good show. Like every other show, you stretch it out too long. It just gets bad.
Yeah, that's true. McLean Stevenson was his name.
Yeah. And he jumped the shark. He went and did his own show, Hello Larry, and it tanked.
Really?
It was a bad move. Somebody gave him bad advice, or he had a bad agent, or he asked for too much money. He probably wanted the same money as Alan Alda or something. They told him to go pound salt. That's probably what happened. It's always
most
money.
Likely. Yeah. The characters from Seinfeld, Jerry obviously went off and made a bad movie, but Michael Richards and Jason Alexander each had their own series and they tanked.
Yeah.
And,
you know, people are not as smart as they think they are. Sometimes the sum of the parts don't add up to the whole at all.
Yeah. Yeah, the only one who had any success was Julia Louis-Dreyfus. There's some names for you for Miles.
Yeah, Miles likes that one. Another Phoenician, he would probably say.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, and she did a show called Deep, which was actually hilarious.
Napoleon Wilson, a regular commenter, super fan of the website. He says, ask Mark what some of the highlights were of running a blog, discoveries, wild claims, etc. So we've been going about an hour. So why don't we wrap it up on that point? Just to highlight. Yeah, because we really are supposed to be talking about your blog and now we're talking about TV. But that's OK. We're just having a conversation.
We're just having fun.
Yeah.
The high point for me was when we went to Argentina. And I don't like big cities, and I want to get out of them as soon as I could, but we were in Buenos Aires. So We went to a cemetery there, which is each grave is, what do they call it? It's a little structure.
Yeah.
And one of them was, God, come to me, please. The princess who died in 1952.
Oh, right. I know what you mean now. Didn't Madonna play her?
Yeah. In the movie.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. Anyway, I went through it and I looked at all the photographs and everything and decided that I'm going to have to go find it. But
was it something like Eva Mendes or Malone? Or I know I'm getting it wrong.
No, it's...
Was she in the show? Don't Cry for Me, Argentina?
No, she was dead by that time. But
Eva Perón?
Eva Perón, yeah.
Oh, I got it. What a memory. Maria Eva Duarte de Perón.
All I could do with her was go through the photographs of the time and realize that her body was really a wax dummy and that she hadn't died.
Okay.
And what happened to her, I don't know. And then a random commenter came in from left field one day and said, I have something to tell you about that. And she
died at 33.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
He said she did not die. She went off. She went to the United States. She got married, lived in Michigan and had a family.
Michigan. Where? Don't tell me it's my hometown or my mom's hometown.
I'm not sure of the hometown, but she married a guy and she had a daughter named Madonna Sissoni.
Oh, okay. Well, you got me there, you bugger. Madonna. Yeah, she was from Detroit or somewhere around there.
And
President of the Female Peronist Party. That's it. No, that's what she was.
Yeah. And we found other things like she had a sister who then became the president of Argentina.
Yeah.
And she, to this day, I think, lives in Spain.
Wow.
But Madonna did a video, just a weeping video in 2010 over her mother's grave.
Mm.
And I realized that her mother really had died in 2010, and she really was grieving.
Well, I won't tell you that the transvestigators think Madonna's just a boy. So there's that. There's that, Mark.
Well, I never thought she was that talented.
No.
And then she got the part of Eva Perón in that movie.
Right. And did you watch it?
You know, I did. There are so many better singers out there with more vibrato and all that kind of stuff, and she just didn't have it, but they gave her the part.
Yeah. Well,
and it's kind of a tradition because she was playing her mother.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a highlight on the blog.
Okay. Oh, let me find it then. So it's on the blog.
Yeah.
Okay, there's the volcano. I have to close that. There goes Zoe, Better Bird, My Three Sons. But we've talked about a lot of stuff today. This is a real pop culture show.
I love it.
I like pop culture. I'm younger than you, but I still identify with some of these things. So we're going to look up Eva Perón. So you got something on that. Eva Perón, Another Shoe Drops.
Yeah.
Is that the post?
That's one of them. That's one of them. That might be the one where we find that her sister, Elizabeth Perón, becomes the president of Argentina and is, again, fake married to probably a gay person.
Well, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. It was all very much fun. I had the time of my life. The other time I had the time of my life was Columbine.
Oh, yeah, you did a lot of good work there.
And John Denver was fun.
Wait, so Columbine, what? Say something fakeologist related about Columbine?
It was an event without tears.
Okay.
What I noticed about it, just in passing, was that all of these witnesses, mm-hmm. including ones that appeared in Michael Moore's movie, fake cried. They couldn't produce real tears.
CLAG, the Columbine Lifetime Actors Guild. I like that.
Did I do that?
Let's see.
I don't think I did.
It said posted by Mark Tokarski, April 17th, 2020.
I'll be damned.
Is that the other Mark? About that piece. Is that the other Mark? Is that your evil twin? Yeah. You better do a face split with yourself.
We were just, I have done that, by the way. Me at age 30 and 33, and me at age 63.
Wow. Did it line up?
Matched perfectly.
Oh, you've got a lot of Columbine stuff. You've got a million parts. I should just use the word Columbine to link to that so you can go to all your posts.
And then there was John Denver. We were just talking about it the other day. The plane that he supposedly died on mm-hmm. is the Long EZ, L-O-N-G, E capital E capital Z. And supposedly he had bought a second-hand plane, and it had a gas tank in either wing, which is common for planes.
Yeah.
He had taken the former owner had taken the switch to switch from one tank to the other and put it in the back seat of the plane. Mm-hmm. And supposedly John Denver that day had to get out a pair of vice grips, turn around in his pilot seat, and grab onto that switch and pull it, and that's when he descended into the water.
Wasn't he in a glider?
It's a different kind of plane.
It wasn't a glider.
No, not a glider.
Oh.
But the thing is that it's got propellers on the rear, and it's got things on the front. I forget what they call them, but they stick out and up. And then the wings themselves stick out and stick up. They do that to eliminate drag. But anyway, they had 12 people describe the plane flying over Pacific Grove, California, and they described, one of them even saw the head of the pilot, but not one of them described the real plane. If you saw a plane with the propeller on the reel, you'd remember it.
Yeah.
And none of these people saw that.
Yeah, I like John Denver because my mother did, so we played his records.
He was a good singer.
He was good. He was really good.
He did a really mean 12-string, too.
And why do you think they faked his death? What's the purpose?
I don't know, but I suspect he had dried up.
Yeah.
He wasn't putting out much in the way of hits anymore. His old stuff becomes extremely valuable when he's a dead rock star.
It's so true. Yeah. Does Elvis not exemplify the point?
Yeah, exactly.
And Elvis was Elvis was fading, let's be honest, at the end. Whatever was happening, he definitely was down to playing state fairs. It wasn't pretty. And I just downloaded the 1968 special. My daughter just bought the book at Graceland, and we're going to watch that because it was definitely considered a pinnacle. And if you go to Graceland, you're not going to see any of the old Elvis. He just doesn't exist in their world because it wasn't a pretty sight. So we're going to watch 1968's famous Christmas show that didn't have any Christmas music in it. And that was another big controversy of the day for anyone who cares. But
anybody who cares, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you're right. It's all about you got to just capitalize. And Sinead O'Connor, who recently left the world stage. I'll just say that. That way I don't have to speculate anymore as to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I told my surviving children, get an accountant right away because I'm going to be worth a lot when I go. And then she went. She actually said that. She said, you guys, get ready. I don't know if it worked for her. I don't know if she is going to, if she has that kind of cachet where, or it even happens anymore in this digital world.
I remember a fan. I wasn't even aware of her until she tore up that picture of the Pope.
Well, you should watch the documentary based on the book that she wrote. Okay. And I listened to the book, the audio book, and I watched the documentary, and I do think she was super talented, and I think she was real and not an invented fiction, and I do think she went up against the establishment, and she paid the price. She wasn't really a big deal after that, and they did exclude her, and she was happy to be excluded. So it worked well for her, but I would watch the documentary. It's pretty good, and I like her music too. So,
okay,
yeah.
I don't follow too many musicians, so I just don't know about this stuff.
Yeah,
but the other blog piece I was going to talk about was Jonestown.
Oh, right, Jonestown, and I feature Fake Nukes Phil on my. On my podcast or my vlogcast occasionally. He did a pretty good, all he does is look at pictures, which makes him similar to you. And he's just said his mantra is show me the bodies of all these psyops. We need to see bodies.
With Jonestown.
Yeah. He
I
did.
Took a picture of the mass casualties there.
Yeah.
I made a big photocopy of it. And then one by one, I drew a line through every body I was counting.
Yeah.
And I came up with like 200 and some. Well,
not
they were supposed to be 900. And they say they're piled on top of one another, but I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
And then looking at the scene of Jonestown itself, I had this strange, early on, I had this strange feeling. I'm looking at a mining camp.
Right.
Because it had helipads, it had roads big enough for trucks and parking spaces big enough for trucks and large commissary area and all that kind of stuff. And then, what was I going to say?
So you think that was another hoax?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. What was the purpose of that?
I don't know.
Is it just more programming?
Is it JFK
is it just more doom drip where we just need horror? We need stories.
You know what it was about Jonestown?
Was there a law that was passed?
No, nothing like that. But the thing that sealed the deal for me was that I went to the site, the government of the country that was in. It was British Guiana.
Guiana, yeah.
And I found the geology section, and they had a map of the country and all of the mineral deposits that were discovered at that point. And right on top of Jonestown was a gold mine.
Whoa.
Yeah, and that sealed it for me.
Is there a mine there now?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's still going.
You mean over those grave sites they actually are digging? How dare they? That's obscene. They're dishonoring the dead.
What's more important, gold or dead bodies?
Gold, and then there are hills. I've never heard that. That's funny. That's amazing. Is that in your piece here about the gold?
Yeah, I broke it into sections, and it's in the last section.
Real good.
That even convinced Gaia that I was onto something.
Gaia, because he's the big geologist. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
And he's in South America. He should take a drive over. How far could it be?
I don't. Yeah, it wouldn't be that far.
That's great.
That was like coup d'etat for me to find that gold mine there.
So that was So you have done a lot of great work on your blog, and I'm glad you're going to keep it up.
Yeah, I'm going to pay the fee every year and preserve all that stuff. And
make sure you put it in your will. I don't want to.
That's a good point.
Put in your will that the estate of Mark Tokarski will pay ad infinitum for the blog, or you could send me the backup because you can easily back up the data. And send me the backup. I'll keep it up for you.
Okay.
I'll put a sublog piece of Mindful in the for if you want, or get someone to do it. If I don't do it, get someone else to do it. But get someone to do it.
I'm not technically apt enough to be able to do that kind of stuff.
Easy. Just go to File Backup in the dashboard. There, it's not hard.
File Backup.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Just do a file backup, and then you'll get a file. You'll just get one file, because really a blog is just text, and it can super compress.
But everything is on WordPress. It's not on my computer.
No, I know that. That's the whole point. You can do a backup of the data, and export it to a file and download the file. You'll just have a large file.
I need to do that.
Yeah, especially for the comments. Yeah, it's not hard. And that way, if it gets blown away, you can just import the file and recreate it.
Yeah.
Instantly. Well, own your data, sir. Own your data.
That's a good point. I'm glad I'm talking to you.
Yeah. You know, for my blog isn't as much of a reference as yours. Mine is more a current thing. So I've thought about it often. If for some reason I got blown away, would I even bother restoring it, or would I just start fresh and there would just be new posts? Because almost nobody, and I mean nobody, goes through the archives of this blog. I'm almost sure of it.
Yeah.
So you're different because you have a lot of posts that just stand on their own. You're not really just talking about the latest thing. You know, my blog is probably full of a million dead links because I link to the current stuff. But you have more of a reference blog, which is good because it's timeless, really.
And we've had some good writers come through too.
Yeah,
that have done some really good work.
Yeah. So if you go to oh, where is it? I'm just looking on my blog right now. I'm not. And tools. Yeah. Okay. On the left, there's an entry called tools, and you go to export, and you can literally export all content. The first button that's already highlighted is all content. Click download.
Backwalk this a little bit for me.
Yeah. So when you're logged into your blog, you have a ribbon on the top and on the left, a black ribbon that only you can see because you're the administrator.
No, that's my son.
Okay. But if you have his login or
well,
you...
I have, I guess I'm an admin too.
You so, must yeah. be.
Yeah.
I'm actually, I have a massive blog and I must have 10,000 entries and now it won't work. But, now I'm getting an error on mine. Oh, maybe it's, you know what? I think someone's after my blog. Hold on a sec. My blog goes up and down like a toilet seat. So I'm going to try it again, but yeah, click on tools.
I don't have that
on the left side.
No.
Well, what do you see? You should see dashboard, activity log, Jetpack, post, media.
I need to go to WordPress.com because I don't get those.
Yeah, well, you're self-hosted, are you not? Or are you on WordPress.com's site?
I am self-hosted.
Okay, so you have nothing to do with WordPress.com then.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a whole menu here,
mm-hmm.
including, well, I don't see tools, but...
It should be on the left.
Oh, here's tools, got it.
Yeah, and then tools and export. Yeah. And download export files on the bottom.
I can't make a say. I'm not going to do it while I'm on the phone, but I found tools.
Yeah, just click on it. I'm helping you now. We're doing some live tech support here.
Okay.
Tools. So,
okay, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I click on tools, it disappears.
Oh, well, on the right, you should see some entries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're hovering over tools. Just click the word tool. Actually, if you click on tools, underneath it, a couple sub-entries will show up.
What I'm seeing is import and export.
Yeah, I'll click on export.
Okay.
Yeah.
Choose what to export, and it says all content.
That's right. And then at the bottom,
oh, I love it.
There's just a little button. It's actually giving me a hard time on my own blog right now, so it's tight. Yeah. It's timing out. You might.
I will do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
It says download export file and it offers all content.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, there's some plugins that you can back up your data. Mine's actually conking out on me right now. So I don't know if it's too much or what the hell's going on. But yeah. All right. Yeah.
This will contain all of your posts, pages, comments, custom fields, terms, navigation menus, and custom posts. I like it. It's not going to fit on a CD, but...
Yeah. Well, just save it anywhere. Yeah, put it on a stick, put it in a...
This computer is so sensitive, it went with it, and it said a download link will be sent to my Proton Mail address when the export is finished.
Oh, it did? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well,
so it's going on right now.
Oh, that's neat. Well, there you go.
I talked to you.
Well, yeah, Proton Mail has their own cloud server for their drives, so you can put it there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm no longer posting every day. I haven't been for a long time. I'm sort of wandering off into irrelevancy, but this is a nice way to save everything that I've done.
Well, that's good. Battery Creek says, I thought John Denver was on an ultralight plane. I think he might have been.
It was called the Long EZ. It was one of those things that comes to your house in a box.
Oh, he built it?
And he didn't do it. The guy that owned it before him did. And it could be ultralight because it holds some records for distance flown.
Mm-hmm.
He had no reason to own it. He was rich enough he could buy a nice private plane of his own and not this thing where he was hunched down in the seats and uncomfortable.
Well, I know what show we're going to play on our way out.
What's that?
I think you'll recognize it. Little John Denver.
Oh, okay. I like it.
Leaving on a jet plane.
All my bags.
All right. Well, I had a good chat with you. And Battery Creek says this is a great show. You two are very cerebral and entertaining. Well, that's nice.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Battery Creek. Well, we'll keep in touch, Mark. We're not going away.
Thank you for reaching out.
Yeah, well, I like your blog. I like your style, and it's always good to keep updated, keep people keep in the loop, and make sure you link if you want to create a post on your own blog because you have a pretty big audience. So I'd like to get them over to my site, and maybe we can.
I will recommend that they go there.
Do some cross
not
promotion.
That they listen to me.
Well, they do actually. I think they do.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Mark.
Good talking to you, friend.
Yeah. All the best. Take care.
All the best.
Okay. Bye-bye. And thank you guys for listening. Fakeologist.com/donate. If you like this kind of material, tomorrow is Thursday. That means Frank should be on. That Jim Rizzoli's probably coming on Sunday. How am I going to talk to him without being arrested? That'll be interesting. I'm in Canada anyway. I don't know if I can talk. And I told him that I have to be careful. So who knows? Maybe we'll just talk in code or something. But he seems like the real deal. And he does talk about the third railiest topic in the history of the world, apparently. And we might be able to talk a little bit about what he's posting on his very busy BitChute channel. And that's it. Fakeologist.com/donate and peaceofmindful.com. Go check that out. Unbelievable. Unbelievable reference. And he's going to keep it going with Tyrone McCloskey, who did the JFK TV post where JFK was a made-for-TV movie and psychological operation. And we'll close out with Mr. John Denver. Great song. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Now the time's come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Close your eyes. I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to say, oh, kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. But I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I hate to go.